Good morning and welcome to Sunday Digest, a public affairs presentation of FM 99.5 WGAR, Cleveland's country music station. I'm Ken Robinson. On today's edition, we look at education, helping your children get the most out of school.
I mean, if they have a negative feeling about school and they aren't motivated in school and a parent is not supporting the education, then, I mean, they could come out of school with less of an education, and that could limit their opportunities.
Dr. Cynthia Waltman-Greenwood explains how to help your child with school-related problems. We'll also find out how to pick the best school for your child. Education, that's today's topic on Sunday Digest. We begin with Charles Harrison. He has a new book out called Grade Your Child's School. Thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Well, tell us a little bit about your reasons for writing a book about how to grade a school. Usually the schools are the ones giving out the grades, but this way it's the other way around.
Well, it started some years ago when I was the education reporter for a major New Jersey daily newspaper, and people moving into the area would call me up on the phone and say, well, now you're the education reporter, so you must know something about the schools. Tell us something about the schools, or tell us what schools are best so we know where we should settle. And then later on, I became executive director of a national organization of education writers, and found that my colleagues around the country were having the same kinds of questions. And if we weren't getting the questions, they were being asked of real estate agents. And so I figured that perhaps parents needed some better tools than they had to evaluate schools for their children.
Is word of mouth the best way to start in finding out information about a possible school for your kid?
Well, it's not. I'm not sure it's the best way. I still think the best way is to take this book with the questions that are in it and the observations that are suggested, and go to a school and start your evaluation. But I think parents, talking to other parents about some of the things that you see, perhaps, or some of the answers you get, would be helpful to put them in some perspective. But one of the things that you run into, of course, to some degree, in word of mouth, is that the word of mouth is not always accurate. And sometimes it also may be quite biased.
What are some of the tough questions parents should ask school administrators, and how should they start their search in finding a good school?
Well, we're speaking of that, by the way. There are probably at least four policies that parents should look for. One is on discipline, one is on homework, one is on security, and perhaps in these days a policy on child pickup. If where there's so many instances of parents who are split and so forth, and there's a court order that says only so-and-so is supposed to pick up a child, the school ought to have a record of that, and you ought to know how they follow that. But on discipline, for example, parents should look at a written policy to make sure that the school knows that parents and children have rights here. Used to be a time when the principal would send a kid home with a note to the parent or a phone call and say, this child is being suspended for a day or two or so forth, and that's it. But the Supreme Court has ruled that parents have rights here under due process, and they can require a hearing, and where the charges must be made, and witnesses may be presented, and so on.
What about the children themselves? When you place a child in a school, they're interacting with other children, mm-hmm. and so often the quality of that interaction impacts on the quality of education. Should you look at the children and see if they're having discipline problems, or if they're acting in a certain way, if they're friendly, if they're mean? Does that play into the decision-making process?
Yes, it sure does. And I think that to begin with, it's important for parents to know something about their own child. And that's why each of these major sections start off with that particular section, Parents Know Your Child. For example, I think parents want to know, and I'm sure they probably know, but maybe review in their own mind, what kinds of values, moral values or others, that they have been trying to instill in their children. And so one of the things they might want to ask about and to observe in a school is to whether these values are in any way written down as accepted values for the school, or whether the teachers are asked to model these values and instruct in these values, or what. For example, Ernest Boyer, who's probably the leading educator in America today, came out with a book recently called Basic School, and he talks about the fact that school should be about the business of building character as well as other things, and teaching respect for others and as people, and respect for other people's property, teaching responsibility for self, and honesty, and so forth. And those things are qualities I think most people agree on as being important, but they may not be high on the list in a particular school, and I think it's worth asking about that if that's a concern of the parents. And obviously, if the parents are concerned about certain religious values, then that dictates maybe their interest in a church-related school, for example. But other questions they might want to ask about is how well does their child get along with other people? You mentioned this, and I think it's important. You know, if your child is kind of a little behind others emotionally and socially, is timid, takes time to mix and to adapt. You want to make sure that you don't thrust them into a situation where, number one, there are very large classes, or situations where students are expected to do a lot of work on their own or in small groups, where this child, in fact, may need something more structured. And so those kinds of questions are very important.
Now, what about the teacher? How do you go about determining a teacher is good or not?
Well, obviously, if you're new to a situation, you know, you're coming into a district or coming to a school that you're not really familiar with, it is virtually impossible to try to get an evaluation of every teacher in that school. You mentioned before something about word of mouth, and I think very often parents know, as do other teachers for that matter, who the better teachers are. Now, in many situations, both public and private, your child is not automatically guaranteed any particular teacher. I think, however, that one of the things you might want to ask about is the experience of the teachers, if they're all beginning teachers. You know, it's nice to have a good mix of teachers. You know, we don't want all teachers with 20 or 30 years experience, because sometimes you need the new blood to bring in new ideas and so forth. But on the other hand, you don't want all inexperienced teachers or brand new teachers. So it's a nice, you're looking for a good mix there. I think you're looking for teachers who, a good percentage of teachers, not necessarily all teachers, but a good percentage who have perhaps at least a master's degree in their subject area, if that, particularly at the high school level. And I think, again, as you go through the halls and you look into classrooms and just standing outside listening to what's going on, I think you can tell some good teachers. Usually, particularly in elementary schools, you'll find in a good classroom a lot of materials that students have done on the walls and so on, and a lot of books around for kids to read, and some computers in there, and kids are working with other kids, and the teacher's going around helping them and so forth. That's a sign of a good teacher.
Now, a lot of things involving the school district are out of our control. A lot of circumstances regarding education are out of our control. Is it generally assumed that if you live in a poor school district, that you're going to get a poor education?
Not necessarily. I did a book, another book called Public Schools USA, about 5 or 6 years ago. And in this case, we collected data, really, for about 500 school districts in the major metropolitan areas of the country. And we also, as part of that, questioned people in those districts, parents and school reporters and other kinds of people. And then it was not unusual to find people saying, well, you know, in this particular district, the better schools are, say, on this side of the tracks, or the better schools are on the older section of town or the newer section of town or whatever. So that even in a school district with no more than 4 to 5 or 6 schools, there are differences. And it's sometimes just the principal, but sometimes you mentioned before that, you know, about things out of control, and sometimes the head office, the district office, will, in putting out or distributing the budget funds, may favor one school over another. And some schools get the better teachers and so on. So it's not necessarily true that all schools in any particular district are all the same.
So the best advice would be to
visit the schools.
Visit the schools, take a look, and see what's going on.
Yes, yeah, because that could determine, you see, because people move from even within a district. I've known people who, even within a district or a town, will decide to move closer to a particular school they think is better than the one near their house. It may be only a mile or so away, but they feel that that school, they've looked at it, they've asked questions about it, they've talked to some parents, and they feel that school will do a better job for their child. And you can have a, you know, it depends what you want, too, for your child. Some schools, the teachers are, and the principal may be very traditional and do everything very traditional. The kids all sit in rows, and it's mostly the teacher talking and the kids listening. And you can go to another school half a mile away, and there the principal and the teachers are all innovative, and they have some traditional situations, but they also are experimenting with small groups and doing a lot with computers and, you know, CD-ROM and all that kind of stuff. So again, it has to do with, as you evaluate a school, that is, a parent evaluates a school and sees what he or she wants for the child.
And see if your child needs special intervention, or maybe brush-up courses or extracurricular courses.
Exactly.
That would play into it as well.
Exactly, because another one of the questions that parents would ask about their own child would be, well, how well does our child now communicate, for example, through writing and speaking, compared to perhaps other children of the same age and grade level? You know, in some homes, for example, children have been read to a lot, and there are a lot of books around, so they come to school pretty well ready to read and rather advanced in reading. Other children come to school and nobody's ever read to them, and there are very few books or even magazines around the house, so they're coming to school with very, very poor communication skills, and the parents have to know that and be prepared to perhaps talk with teachers about how they can make up for this deficiency.
All right. We want to thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much.
Researcher Charles Harrison, author of the book, Grade Your Child's School. Next, helping your kids once you find the right school. I'm Ken Robinson, and you're listening to Sunday Digest on FM 99.5 WGAR. Now, our guest is Dr. Cynthia Waltman Greenwood. She's co-author of a book entitled Solve Your Child's School-Related Problems.
And she's a assistant professor in the Counseling and School Psychology Department at Southern Connecticut State University. And she has over 15 years of experience as an education teacher and a school psychologist. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. What's the number one school-related problem?
One of the more obvious problems that parents and teachers deal with is a child that doesn't complete their homework. And they'll usually work together on, you know, helping the child, you know, complete the homework on a more regular basis. That's one of the more obvious problems, more simple problems. There are more, you know, serious problems that relate to discipline and motivation, learning disabilities, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, that they may deal with.
I'm pretty familiar with that homework problem. What is the trick to that? How do you get a kid to get excited about doing their homework?
Well, it is a complicated problem. It depends on what, you know, why the child is not completing homework. It could be due to the fact that the work is too hard, and in that case, it would take, you know, some the teacher and perhaps the school psychologist and the parent looking at what it is about the homework that the child may be having difficulty with. Or if it's really just due to motivation, it's a good idea for them to work together on trying to find out what might help motivate the child. You know, they could set up a reward system where the child may complete 5 assignments and get a trip to, you know, a hiking trip or a special treat after school. Or it could be something in school, more computer time, you know, things like that. Some way you've got to find out what motivates your child.
That's always a key there, motivation. Is it difficult to motivate children? So many kids come to school with, oh boy, it's, you know, it's a terrible experience. I don't want to be here. I'd rather be watching TV or doing something else. How do you motivate kids?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, some children are motivated. You know, they are just, you know, those are your self-starters. They're just intrinsically motivated. But some aren't. And for those, you really have to look at why, you know, and what will work for them. Talk to them. You know, what would make you, you know, want to do your homework, or what could we work out that would make it easier for you to do your homework? It really varies from child to child. And it's a hard problem to deal with, because it's not one that ends overnight. And that the parent and teachers, they really have to work together on a long, you know, for a long time on this issue.
Is that the key to getting good grades, motivation? So often we hear about talent and ability, but isn't motivation a key factor in getting good grades?
It is, because unfortunately, if you don't do your homework or complete your classroom assignments, the teacher won't have as much to grade a child on. So it really is a key factor, you know, perseverance, you know, interest in learning. And that often comes from the parents as well. You know, what, how do they view school? Do they value it as a, you know, a positive experience? And, you know, there are a lot of things that parents can do to support what the child is learning in school. Trips to a museum or movies or going to the library. And just talking to the child about what you're learning, showing an interest in what they are doing.
You mentioned working together with teachers. How can a parent go about working together with a teacher? A lot of teachers today are overburdened. They have big class sizes, especially in the urban schools. There are discipline mm-hmm. problems. How can a teacher and parent work together on an individualized basis with such demands?
Well, even though teachers are busy, the best thing a parent can do is to contact a teacher at the beginning of the school year and just talk to the teacher, you know, what, you know, about what the child may be learning, and, you know, if the parent shares some information about the child, what their favorite things are to do, how, what kind of learner they have been in the past, what they like, what things may have been difficult for them, but just to open up that communication. Teachers really like it when parents are involved. They really do. And, you know, so if a parent can make that first step and getting involved in meeting the teacher, you know, if a parent shows flexibility, is understanding, and if the teacher and the parent look at the child's education as a shared responsibility, it will be much better.
Now, how should parents and students go about handling the school bully? School bully has always been with us, and now there's a little more terrifying aspect to it as we hear about more kids carrying weapons to school.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're child is the victim of being a bully, I mean, the first thing to do is talk to your teacher, because sometimes the teachers aren't even aware of it. And, you know, maybe the teacher could watch and see what's going on. And also the child will need to learn skills and how to handle a bully, like walking away when they're feeling attacked, you know, verbally or physically, standing up for themselves, going to a teacher for help, telling the parent what's happening. It's a big problem in the schools.
Let's say a kid tells his parent, he comes home and tells his parent that he's being terrorized by a bully. What should the parent do? Should the parent go right to the top and contact the principal right off, or start with the teacher?
I think the first step is always the teacher. And also talking to your child about remaining calm in those situations. And also trying to build their self-esteem. If they tend to be the victim, you know, not of, you know, just serious things, but of, you know, light teasing and all that, they need to learn how to, you know, feel better about themselves, you know, be more positive.
We're talking to Dr. Cynthia Waltman Greenwood, who's co-author of a new book, Solve Your Child's School-Related Problems. And we're talking about some of those problems today on WGAR. Now, some kids are very aggressive, very outspoken. They know what they want, and they know how to get it out of the education system. Other kids are shy, retiring. Maybe they just want to stay out of trouble and just keep everything on an even keel. Isn't the outspoken, aggressive kid more likely to get a better education than the shy child?
Yes, in some cases, but it really depends on why that child is shy. You know, is it because they feel they don't have the skills to be outspoken, or is it because that's just their temperament? Now, if it's because they don't have the skills, the teacher and parents and school psychologists need to look at that child and find out why they are shy. Some people are shy their whole lives. It depends on how much it is interfering with their progress in school. Sometimes the teacher's unaware, and so if a parent brings it to a teacher's attention, the teacher can tune into that child more and put that child in situations where they may be more comfortable. Instead of working with six children on a class project, maybe just pairing that child up with one other child would be better and make them more comfortable. Instead of doing a 10-minute report in front of the class, maybe 3 minutes for starters. And working with the child during recess, you know, practicing, that can help a shy child.
So often teachers tell us that a lot of the problems they see in the classroom are a result of what's going on at home. You have a chapter in your book about single parents and divorced parents. Sometimes when there's trouble in the family, that can produce trouble in the classroom.
Oh, it does. I mean, it is. If a child is going, living in a stressful environment, they will start acting out in class. And again, if a parent is going through a divorce, it's important to let the teacher know so that the teacher can give the child extra attention. Oftentimes school psychologists run groups for children that are living in a single parent home because there's different issues that they're dealing with. And that could give them a chance to talk about their feelings. And that will in turn help them deal with their feelings instead of acting out their behavior.
But in all actuality, kids can be kind of brutal. We talked about the bullies. Kids also cheat sometimes. They steal. They lie. How can a parent deal with those problems if their kid is doing that kind of behavior, or if their child is a victim of that kind of behavior?
Well, if a child is doing that kind of behavior, the first thing is, for a parent not to ignore it. Don't think that this is a phase and that the child's going through and they'll outgrow it. Because if it's not addressed, then the child sees that in some way as that behavior is being reinforced. It's okay to lie. It's okay to cheat. So the best thing a parent can do is, and a teacher, if they see it happen, deal with it immediately. If it's a first-time offense, talk about, why they may have done it, why they shouldn't do it, what it does, cheating. If you cheat, you aren't learning. Give them those concrete reasons. And then, if it continues to happen, then it's a more serious problem. And, likely will want to talk to your school psychologist about what you can do, and maybe the school psychologist will want to talk to the child about it. Why are they doing that?
Because of the spread of drugs throughout society, are we seeing an increasing number of children who are have learning disabilities because of maybe their parents' drug abuse?
It depends on the area, again. But yes, we do have, cocaine and crack, I think, have had an impact on young children. We have more serious problems because of it.
On that note, we want to thank you for joining us today. Dr. Cynthia Waltman Greenwood, she's co-author of the book, Solve Your Child's School-Related Problems. She's a professor at Southern Connecticut State University and has 15 years of experience as a special education teacher and school psychologist. And that's today's edition of Sunday Digest. Sunday Digest is a public affairs presentation of FM 99.5 WGAR, Cleveland's country music station. If you have any questions or comments, you can write WGAR at 5005 Rockside Road, 44131. Email is WGAR@prodigy.com. I'm Ken Robinson, thanking you for listening, hoping you'll join us next time on Sunday Digest. This show is brought to you by Panoramic Lifestyle Clothing. Panoramic, a vision moves in all directions. Based in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona, Panoramic is set to be the hottest up-and-coming streetwear brand, featuring the most distinctive t-shirts ever created. Check out our extensive collection at plclothing.store. Not just a brand, but a movement to inspire a goal-oriented lifestyle. A goal to have a vision and stick to it. Panoramic Lifestyle Clothing at plclothing.store.